Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad you could join us today. Exciting time in the Twin Cities to be Catholic. A lot going on right now. We've got a big, big conference coming up tomorrow. That's Saturday. If you're listening to this on Sunday, you might have missed it. But it's coming up on Saturday from 8 in the morning until noon at the University of St. Thomas. And Bishop Andrew Cousins is the keynote. I'll also be speaking. And Father John Eckert will be talking about the armament for men. And so that's going to be a great, great conference. A little bit later on the show today, we have Father Greg Schaefer from the Venezuelan, you know, last week I actually said Venezuelan, and that's a new word that I invented, and it'll be in the dictionary shortly, but the Venezuelan mission from the Twin Cities. We're going to talk about that. Many of you have heard about the Venezuelan mission, particularly in the appeal every year, and in your bulletin you hear about it. Well, we're going to learn all things Venezuelan mission today, and a little bit about the history of that and how you can get involved. Father Michael Schmitz, good friend of mine from Duluth, will be at Epiphany for a retreat, for a mission, I should say, during Lent. And we're going to talk to him a little bit later on the show also. But I'm really excited about the Men's Archdiocesan Conference and really encourage you to go. Do you know that in the past, we have had roughly 350 men pre-register for this event that's taking place tomorrow? But guess how many showed up on Saturday? About 1,300. So that means we had about 1,000 walk in on Saturday, which was, it's great. It's really, really great. But this year we have over 700 and some pre-registered already for the conference, and we're expecting about 1,600 tomorrow. So I'm asking you to pray for us as the men of the Archdiocese get together. We're going to be introducing a new initiative called the Catholic Watchman. You know, in the Old Testament, the men were the ones that walked the walls, and they were the ones that looked out for the enemy, and they protected, and they provided, and they led in the community. And we're going to challenge men to do that coming up tomorrow. And Bishop Cousins is going to lead the men in a initiation ceremony to say, hey, will you step up to the plate and do seven things? And those seven things are very, very foundational. It's prayer on a daily basis. It is walking in the spirit of St. Joseph as a father, whether you have children or whether you have spiritual children. You're still called to fatherhood in some way. And to engage Jesus in Scripture every day. And every week, go to Mass. And every week, find some way of serving your family and serving the parish, serving the community. And on a monthly basis, go to confession, and also be a part of fraternity, getting together with other men in your parish. Iron sharpening iron, if you will, Scripture says. So we're going to do that tomorrow. Please pray. Ladies, if your husband is not signed up yet, he can walk in tomorrow. We'll be ready for him. Just encourage him to do it. If you have teenage sons, be a good opportunity for them to attend. Hey, I want to share with you just for a few minutes, a little bit later on what to do during Lent with three things. That's almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Those are three forms of piety that we talk about in the Catholic Church. And not only do we talk about those three forms of piety, but they were really big in Jesus' day. They were considered normative, just what people do. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit later on in the show about how almsgiving, prayer, and fasting can take care of three things or deal with three things in your life. And the Apostle John wrote about them in his first letter. In chapter 2, he said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit later on how to walk in those three forms of piety and how they counter those three things that we deal with. And by the way, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not the first time we heard about that in Scripture. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 in verse 6. And Eve looked at the fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden. And what did she say? What was the conclusion? It's beautiful, good to look at. It's tasty, and it makes one wise. And so these three things we have been dealing with ever since. And praise the Lord, Jesus is equipping us in the gospel, in Matthew's gospel, to deal with that. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But stay tuned. We're gonna talk with Father Greg Schaefer on the other side of this break, and we're going to introduce you to the Venezuelan mission. And we're going to talk about where your gift has been going and how you can continue to be a gift to the people of Venezuela. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Rediscover.
This Lent, Open Window Theater presents Everyman, the most beautiful and enduring of all the Old English morality plays. Hi, I'm Jeremy Stanberry, founding artistic director of Open Window Theater, your local professional Catholic theater. I would like to personally invite you to join us for this rarely produced spiritual, literary, and theatrical classic as we bring it to the stage like never before. Journey with every man this Lent as he is called by God to make an account of his life and be reminded of what's most important in your own life. Every man runs Thursdays through Sundays until March 20th. And Relevant Radio listeners can receive $2 off per ticket by using the promo code RELEVANT. Call 612-615-1515. That's 612-615-1515. Or visit us online at openwindowtheater.org. Support for the Open Window Theater is provided by Glasgow Automotive, maintaining Swedish cars that begin with the letter V.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Beautiful day we have today to discuss evangelization here in the Archdiocese and missions. If you have read your bulletin in the last year, you probably have read something about the Venezuelan mission, the efforts of the Twin Cities to bring the gospel to and bless the people of Venezuela. And heading that up is Father Greg Schaefer. And he entered St. John Vianney College Seminary back in 1984, and he was ordained to the priesthood in 94, received a Master's of Divinity and a Master's in Theology in Dogmatic Theology. And he's joining us now to talk about the Venezuelan mission. Father, good to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to talk to you because, you know, we talk so much about where the money goes when we take up offerings every year. We talk about missions and it's good to see you coming up. And I think Father Peterson is joining you now in Venezuela, is that
right? Yes, Father James Peterson is down, and it's working out very well. He's very, very happy to be there, even amongst the struggles and everything. And so, yeah, we're real blessed to have them. There's been so many good priests from the Archdiocese that have worked in Venezuela. And so, again, I'm just real happy to have Father James with us now.
Now, did you grow up in the Twin Cities?
Yes, I grew up on the east side of St. Paul.
The east side of St. Paul. So growing up on the east side of St. Paul, there you are in high school. Did you ever think you would end up in Venezuela?
No, I was always hoping maybe to go to Guatemala with my uncle.
But, oh, really? Your uncle? Tell us a little bit about his work.
Well, he was a priest from the Nuam Diocese and went down to work in Guatemala at the mission of San Lucas Toliman in 1963.
Okay.
And he was there for 48 years.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, let's talk about the Venezuelan mission, the name, and how long has the Twin Cities had a presence there down in Venezuela? We know it because of a lot of baseball players who come up here, but let's talk about us going down there.
Well, the first priest that went down from the Archdiocese is in 1970 with Father Ray Mansour and Jerry Hackemuller. And soon after that, Father Larry Hubbard joined them. And we've had a priestly presence in the Diocese of Ciudad Guayana ever since. Mm-hmm. There was a time where the Sisters of Franciscan Sisters of Little Falls worked with the priests down there when the priests served the parish of Buen Pastor. And the sisters did really, really good work down there. And then we've had a number of lay people that have come down over the years that, again, have done wonderful work working in the parish in different ways. Most recently, we've had students from the University of St. Thomas come down after they graduated and volunteer with us. Mm-hmm. Had one student from Crete and Durham Hall come down after he graduated from high school and spent some time working with us, volunteering, and then he came back and is finishing up medical school right now in the University of Wisconsin.
Beautiful. So when we talk about a mission, you know, at least I have in my mind an image in my head of what a mission, you know, looks like. But for those that have never been to Venezuela or have never really looked into this, what exactly is a mission? How big is this? And what type of work do we do down there?
Well, the mission of the Archdiocese currently is located in it's always been in the Diocese of Ciudad Guayana. But right now, we're in the parish of Jesucristo Resucitado, which is an inner-city parish.
Which means, translated?
The parish, Jesucristo Resucitado, is translated, Jesus Christ is risen.
Okay.
So some people might just refer to it as Risen Christ Parish.
All right.
I prefer to say everything there, Jesus Christ is risen, just to show off my Spanish, I guess.
But that's why I'm not saying it.
But our parish is very large. It's made up of 11 different barrios or 11 different distinct neighborhoods with an estimated 65,000 people living in the parish boundaries. Mm-hmm. Many people will, in our area, as throughout Venezuela, you know, say they're Catholic. And consequently, you know, everybody wants to be baptized or have their children baptized. And so sometimes, especially in the month of December, we have to limit baptisms to about 40 at a time.
That's good.
And then everybody wants to be buried Catholic, mm-hmm. or have a funeral service. But it's the in-between time that we're trying to get them in, you know, for Mass and confession. And so on a weekend, we have about at least seven Masses with Father Peterson and myself. We'll have two in the church, and the other five are going out to the barrios, mm-hmm. where the people are. And
that's one of the things that makes this unique, isn't it? Is that you're not just in one building that we call a mission, but you really have like tentacles, if you will, all throughout on these barrios.
Correct.
And you go and you travel there and minister and celebrate Mass.
Exactly. We don't really even have a office at the church. It's always out with the people. Mm-hmm. And it's Father James does a really great job visiting the barrios. He's in the barrio, I think, on Monday of La Laguna, on Tuesday La Frontera, on Thursday it's Angostura. And so we'll just go and visit and just spend time with the people, praying, listening to what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we do use the Great Adventure Bible Series once a month in the different barrios, and that's been a real helpful just to kind of help the people learn about the Catholic faith, because they're confronted with many evangelicals questioning and challenging them mm-hmm. on what they believe, even within their own families. And so it's something that's important to talk about what it means to be Catholic.
So when we talk about a mission, from our perspective in the Archdiocese here, this literally is an official missionary effort on behalf of the Archdiocese.
Correct.
To go down to Venezuela. How did that particular country and place get chosen?
Well, it was in the 1960s that the priests of this Archdiocese, called the Priest Senate, was calling on the Archbishop to suggest that we would have mission as an archdiocese to answer the Holy Father's call at that time mm-hmm. of the church in North America to take a more active role in helping the church in South America. And so the Archbishop appointed Father Don Schnitzius to go down to South America to see where we as an archdiocese would set up our mission. And Don went to Guatemala, he went to Brazil, he went to Argentina, and he went to Venezuela. When he arrived in Venezuela, they took him out to this part of the country where they were mining. And it was two very large cities, San Felix and Puerto Ordaz, separated by the Caroni River. And that connected him, he's seen the connection with the Archdiocese, just having St. Paul, Minneapolis. And then as they took him around, they visited a taconite plant, real similar to the taconite plants that are up in northern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And Don just felt that this made the most sense, because the places that he visited in Guatemala, in Argentina, and in Brazil were more rural dioceses, more rural areas. But he figured that, you know, most of the priests from the archdiocese were coming from an urban setting, and where they're looking to send the priests in Venezuela would be more of an urban setting also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the area in Venezuela was chosen.
For those of us that have not been to the Venezuelan mission, do you think that the average person coming to Mass on Sunday with you in the barrios and in the central parish, are they aware that there are a lot of people in this place called Minnesota that they care about them and actually give towards this and want to see the gospel flourish?
Oh, I think so. I think so. You know, one of the great works that Father Pat Ryan did in Venezuela was build a beautiful church for the people. And above the sanctuary, there's like two rivers, which represent the Caroni River and the Orinoco River.
Mm-hmm.
And the two rivers connect with and a big red sword, and which, of course, represents St. Paul. And so just coming to Mass, you see the sword, and then the programs that we've been able to offer to the people is all through the generosity of the people of the Archdiocese. And that's in many different ways. The St. Vincent de Paul organization here in the Archdiocese with Ed Kerner has done wonderful, helping us start up our own St. Vincent de Paul conference down there. And that's something very, very special that serves the poorest of the poor mm-hmm. areas. We're blessed to have three young doctors just finishing up medical school right now during their residency that come and work with us with our St. Vincent de Paul conference every Saturday morning. And that's just our St. Vincent de Paul conference has a few teenagers and about five, six adults that go to visit the poorest of the poor. And through the generosity of the Archdiocese, we're able to get adult diapers, medicines, and then when it's necessary, buy beds or wheelchairs mm-hmm. for those that need it. Apart from St. Vincent de Paul, the money that comes in helps us run our own medical clinic. We have a Venezuelan doctor that's working with us.
Uh-huh.
And then with the three young doctors that are working with St. Vincent de Paul, once they finish all their studies, hope to have them connected with us. But we do have a large public hospital located in our parish, about 20-minute walk from the church. But it's so overpopulated. And
sure.
So in our clinic, it's simple, but we're just trying to offer basic services such as nebulizing the children. With the steel mills over in Puerto Ordaz, we got lots of pollution, and the children are affected with asthma.
So okay.
And so they don't have to go to the public hospital, wait for an hour and a half or 2 hours to be nebulized.
Well, I was going to ask you that. And just a side note, for people in the northern suburbs of the Twin Cities, Father Peterson may be familiar to you. He was the chaplain at Totino Grace High School. And an associate in the north here, and now in Venezuela. For all of us that are interested in missions, which I hope all of you are, you know, interested in missions, what types of needs do you have right now that we might be able to meet, both physically and spiritually?
Well, prayer is so important, you know, just to confront the difficult situation in which we're living today. Venezuela, as you know, most people know, export oil, and that's all they do. They've abandoned much of the other work or manufacturing within the country. And so when the price of oil dropped, things have become very, very difficult. So right now, throughout Venezuela, people will wait 8 to 10 hours in line just to try to get some basic goods as rice, shampoo, deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Medicines are very difficult to come by. And so your prayers are so important just to help us. And then any kind of financial support through the Archdiocese is always welcome.
Sure.
And that money is used in different ways for emergency assistance, for scholarships. Some of the money that comes in, we work with an orphanage that's run by the neighboring parish of the Salesians, of Don Bosco. It used to be located in our parish, so a number of our volunteers that have come down to visit spent a lot of time with the boys at the orphanage.
So if a youth group or some type of group in one of our parishes says, well, we would like to get involved, we would like to send materials down, any kind of help, or we would like to come down and be of some kind of help, are you prepared for that? Do you have
sure.
You have accommodations?
Yeah, we've had we got a part of the parish center that we have. We built an apartment that has fully furnished with a washer and dryer, but all the food that's prepared we have at the rectory. But yeah, we've had groups as many as a group of 21 people come down to visit.
Mm-hmm.
We've had students from the University of St. Thomas as well as St. Kate's come down, and it's just been wonderful. Had a number of few families come down. A lot of students, after they've graduated in a time of transition, have come down and volunteered with us, mostly teaching English as a second language. Some have gone to work with the Sisters of Charity that are in a neighboring parish, and they spend time with sisters helping serve the men that are living at the place dying of AIDS that the sisters take
sure.
care of.
Mm-hmm.
Couple teachers from Crete and Durham Hall, Becky Medin and Pam. I forget Pam's last name, came down and volunteered at the La Salle Catholic School down there teaching
Spanish
and English.
So if people did come down, I've been on missions myself, mm-hmm. like, for example, a couple times to the Soviet Union before the wall came down. And when we went over, as well as going to Israel and other places, we brought medical supplies that we could bring. I mean, mm-hmm. you know. Not narcotics and things like that, but regular supplies and household supplies. Do you encourage that?
Yes, when we can. Right now we're trying to put together a sea container to send down, and one of the items that we're looking for is an ultrasound machine just for our clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just gathering supplies to fill the sea container. And working with customs officials down there to be able to get it all through.
When you say a sea container...
Like a back of a semi to ship down by boat.
Okay.
And that's been coming along. I've been working with people at Matters More to help gather medical supplies for that.
Okay.
And so we're in the process to see if it's going to be possible. They've never shipped to Venezuela, so it could be a challenge.
Well, if you're listening and you have an extra ultrasound machine around the house, this might be a perfect opportunity. Download it.
And even use baseball equipment, mostly gloves. They're hard to come by.
Tell us why that is.
Well, baseball is the national sport of Venezuela.
It is.
Carlos Silva grew up at our neighboring parish of San Buenaventura.
Twins fame.
Yep. And then, at one time we had 11 Venezuelans on the team.
Of the twins. And you were pastoring, was it Johan Santana?
Well, I got to baptize two of his children. Uh-huh. We still kind of keep in touch. And then, you know, some of the other players right now, Eduardo Escobar is from Venezuela, and... Arcia, the outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still field twins and a number of twins in the minor league system coming up that we hope the best for. But the players that have come out to visit the parish have just really down to earth and really good guys. And when I brought some of the Venezuelan singers and dancers up, they're very warmly received by the twins organization and especially by the players.
That's beautiful. Well, Father, I should appreciate you sharing with us a little bit about the mission. Anything else you want to communicate to the good listeners of the Rediscover Hour about the mission?
Well, I'm just very grateful for the prayers and the support, and I'm very grateful for the Catholic Services Appeal Foundation. They do a lot to raise awareness of the mission throughout the Archdiocese, and the people that do give, their generosity is making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful for that.
And if people want to learn more about the mission, or is there a website where they can go and see what's happening, or pictures, anything like that?
Yeah, the Archdiocese has a link to and a blog to the Archdiocese mission.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Shannon Conroy is our main contact here in the Archdiocese.
In the development department.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then if there's ever groups that want to come down, Deacon Mickey Friesen and Mike Oslo do an excellent job in preparing groups, and they're a great resource to use for not just the Venezuelan mission, but for all missions, you know, throughout the world. And they're with the Center for Mission,
sure.
of course, at the Hayden Center.
Yeah, that Deacon Mickey.
Right, correct.
Is there. Correct. Well, that's fantastic. I want to encourage all of you to think about mission and to think about praying for the Venezuelan mission and giving toward it. This is a beautiful kind of a sister relationship we have with Venezuela. And it is providentially what God has put on our plate for us to pray about and for us to give. And Father, on behalf of all of our listeners, thank you for the 20 years that you have given. I think that you didn't think you were going to end up there for 20, did you?
No, not at all.
it turned out to be 20 and ongoing. But we appreciate it. You, in a real way, you represent us. And I know that the work can be hard. And even just recently, we've heard about Father Peterson was even held up and robbed. And that's part of it, you know, and the angels and protecting you. That's fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate that. That's Father Greg Schaefer. Pray for the Venezuelan mission. And if you feel so led, give toward it. And that we can help in spreading the gospel in South America. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking with Father Michael Schmitz from Duluth. He's going to be in the Twin Cities for a Lenten mission at Epiphany. And we're going to get a little sneak preview as to what he's going to be talking about. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Coordinated Business Systems.
Customers first, always.
Coordinated Business Systems presents Twins Radio color commentator Dan Gladden and Coordinated President Jim Arricchio.
Dan, let me introduce you to breakthrough Kyocera document imaging technology.
Like Kyocera MFPs and Kyocera network printers?
Yep. An amazingly affordable Kyocera color tool.
Color? Color commentary? That's me, Jim. I'm here to provide great insight, humor, and expert analysis.
And a little humility.
Yeah, right, that too.
And Kyocera also has innovative document imaging solutions for healthcare, legal, engineering, and businesses of all sizes.
Breakthrough technology, score one for the home team.
Like you, Dan. Game 7, scoring the only run in the 10th inning to win the 91 World Series.
Go with a winner. Kyocera from Coordinated Business Systems. To learn more, visit coordinated.com.
Customers first, always.
You are beautiful, glorious, wonderful, oh Jesus. Forever will I worship you, forever will I sing. You are beautiful.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Quick reminder, coming up tomorrow, that is the 27th of February, Saturday, University of St. Thomas, we've got the big men's conference going on, and we're going to do something special this year. Bishop Andrew Cousins is going to be the keynote, and I'm also going to be giving a talk along with Father John Eckert, and we're expecting upwards of 1,600 men tomorrow, and we're going to be introducing the Catholic Watchman Initiative. And this is an initiative where we're asking men to step up to the plate and to do 7 things on a daily, a weekly, and a monthly basis. 7 things all together. And we're going to be actually initiating men and giving them a beautiful gold pen. Gold color, not gold, but a gold colored pen. I'm going to say, we're going to get a lot of guys if we find out we're giving away gold. But we've got a beautiful gold pen that is an emblem of the Catholic Watchman. Ezekiel talks about this. Men were the ones that walked the walls. They were the ones that protected, provided, they led. And women do this too, by the way. But we're going to talk about a uniquely male calling tomorrow. And we already have over 750, I believe, signed up for the conference tomorrow. We usually get about 1,000 walk-ins. Believe it or not, we really do. And you are welcome to walk in tomorrow. It's at the University of St. Thomas, and it's in the big field house where the pool is, the indoor track, and we're ready for you. And if you're listening right now and your husband is not, make it a point to remind him and say, hey, hon, go to that. Pick up a couple of friends and go. It's from 8 in the morning till 12:30. We'll have you out of there on time, and you got the rest of the day ahead of you. But it could be a changing point in your life. It could be a day that brings about a change, not only in your life as a man personally, but in your family, your marriage, your parish. So that's tomorrow, University of St. Thomas, the big Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Joining us now is a good friend, no stranger to the Twin Cities, all the way from Duluth. He is the director of the Office of Youth Ministry for the Diocese of Duluth, also serves as the chaplain for the Newman Catholic Campus Ministry at UMD, better known as the University of Minnesota Duluth. And that's Father Mike Schmitz. How are you doing, Father?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, Jess, how are you doing?
Good. We're just getting ourselves prepared for the big day tomorrow.
Yeah, seriously. It sounds like it's going to be an awesome... I mean, that's probably also based off of some of Bishop Olmsted's Into the Breach, sounds like.
Yes. In fact, we are going to be playing there's a 10-minute video that Archbishop Olmsted has put together. Relating to his apostolic exhortation. Kind of a funny little note. We were down there, or over there in Phoenix earlier this year, and I was talking to him in his office with Matthew Christoff. And by the way, pray for Matthew Christoff. He's a big part of the men's ministry, but he's in Phoenix today. His father is doing very poorly as far as his health, so he will not be joining us tomorrow. But we were talking with Archbishop Olmsted, and I asked him about his pastoral, and he stopped me and he said, "That's not a pastoral. That's an apostolic exhortation."
Listen. The pastoral sounds very nice and peaceful and calm. I am exhorting you.
Right.
The mission of a successor of the apostles.
Oh my. Well, you're coming to the Twin Cities. Talk to us about that. I know a lot of people are looking forward to your visit. It's not your first time, obviously, but you're going to be at Epiphany.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'll get down there in a week from. Week from next week, I guess. It's basically March, doing a mission, March 7th, 8th, and 9th. So it's kind of a three-day parish mission. I'll be there for the Masses on Sunday, and then like youth thing that night, that Sunday night. But then the mission itself is going to be Monday through Wednesday.
So what's your focus?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Do you want one? I'll throw some ideas. Maybe we'll take calls.
Seriously. No, I'm just kidding. It's all about... It's about the conversion, so metanoia. So, as you know, here's St. Paul, who says, "Do not conform yourselves to this present age, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds."
Uh-huh.
And that whole recognition of, if I was raised Catholic, have I really ever transformed my mind to be conformed to Jesus? Or have I just kind of said, well, this is just kind of how you do it. This is just kind of how you think. This is kind of how you live.
Right.
A lot of us, we just kind of drift through life, and we drift even through church stuff. We drift through a relationship with Jesus. We don't even have one then because of the fact that, have I ever really made a decision to live for Him? Have I ever really made a decision to allow God to bring me into a real relationship with Him? And so that's really the main focus, is kind of, you know, as using a starting point of Lent, because, you know, originally Lent was that season of purification and enlightenment that people who are coming into the church, this kind of final purification, this final, like, okay, what do I really need to root out of my life before I get baptized, before I come, I'm brought into the new covenant? And so, like, let's participate in that, just like the early Christians did. Let's, like, really participate, not just, I'll give up this and that for Lent, but how do I completely say, I'm going to turn away from whatever doesn't belong to Him, and make it so that I do fully belong to Him.
Well, it sounds like you're going to challenge the good people of Epiphany and the surrounding area to live more of a, I guess, intentional or a conscious relationship with the Lord, not just on automatic pilot, but really taking the time to examine your life and to determine what needs to be tweaked, what needs to change, what needs to be uprooted in your life, and then go after that. And what better time than during the 40 days of Lent? Now, 40, that's an interesting number, isn't it?
It is. It sounds, it's almost a biblical number, you know?
Almost. No, it is. It is a biblical number. But it is a time of testing. It's a time of trial and in preparation. And I think that we find ourselves in the midst of it right now, and this just might be what God is calling some people to really, really knock down those things in their life that need to change.
Yeah, and I really think that there's a definitely that, like you said, it's a testing, it's a trial, it's training, and I think that one of the images that really sticks with me is the image. Remember a Thor Heyerdahl?
Sure.
Okay, so the Kon-Tiki raft thing, he had this theory that that the people who populated the Polynesian Islands came from South America. And so he reenacted, I think, 1947, he redid this. He made a raft that would had kind of a sail, but didn't really have anything to speak of, and then just basically left the coast of Peru, hoping that by drifting on the ocean currents, he could make it to Polynesia. And like 110 days later, he did it. I mean, he made it, and his crew made it, and they all lived. But the quite crazy thing is, like, that's how most of us live.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of just drift, and we think, like, well maybe, and hopefully I'll, I don't know, do you have any goals for your life? Well, I kind of be a decent person, I guess. Yeah. I kind of want to have...
I haven't killed anybody.
I want to have, you know, I want my family to be, you know, happy, or want my family to be good, or this kind of thing, as opposed to, like, saying, wait, what's my goal, like, for real?
Right.
And what's God's vision for my life? And then the next question is, then, what am I going to do to get there? Rather than just kind of, just going to get on a raft and hopefully it takes me there. I mean, just think of it, but that's kind of our default way that most of us live. At least it's the way most of us live the most important relationship of our life with the Lord, and even with our families. It's kind of like, well, now, you know, you can think about how people sometimes, well, that's how they'll live their marriage is, well, now we're married, so... Yeah. what's next?
Work for retirement.
You know? Work for retirement, exactly.
But I appreciate that image with Thor Heyerdahl. I had that kind of confused with Tom Sawyer, so I'm glad you...
Tom Sawyer was a lot easier because he's going on a river.
Okay, there we go.
That's got a destination.
Well, it's going to be you're there 3 nights, right? March 7th, 8th,
Tuesday, Wednesday,
and 9th. And if people want to attend, what do they do? Just go to the Epiphany website? That's epiphanymn.org?
Yes, they can go to the website. And I think there's, not only is there more information there, but they're also, I'm not sure if they need to register or not, but okay. I do know that every night we're going to have, there's a presentation, there's a little short time of prayer before the presentation, and then after each of the presentations, there's going to be some kind of opportunity to respond. Like, just, you know, one of the frustrations I have is if I go to a talk or some kind of thing that's just like, wow, this is really powerful, I need to process this, but then I'm not given any time to process. I just kind of get in your car and you go out to the parking lot, get in your car and go home, with the idea that, well, someday I'll process this. Each night we have a different way to respond to the message in a way that really is significant. In particular, on Tuesday night, there's I think I spoke with the folks over at Epiphany. I think they're having maybe 18 priests who are going to be there to hear confessions afterwards.
Oh, that's great!
Because this is the incredible response of being able to say, okay, because that's the part of the message of Tuesday is that call to, like, what do I do? Like, how do I actually practically turn away from some of the things in my life that should not be there? Mm-hmm. And turn towards the Lord.
And you've entitled it Bold Conviction. I like that. Bold Conviction. Well, Father Duffner does great work over there at Epiphany.
Gosh, so great.
And, you know, congratulations on the work that you've been doing, and we look forward to welcoming you in the Twin Cities. Of course, Jill Fink does a great job over at Epiphany, and I want to give out some contact information here for people that are interested in finding out whether they can go, you know, and how they get signed up for that. You can call the Church of the Epiphany. Of course, Jill Fink is heading that up and doing a great job. The number is 763-862-4355. That's 863-862-4355. And Jill's email is jfink, F-I-N-K, at epiphanymn.org. That's Jill Fink. So, Father, I appreciate you for giving us a heads up, and we welcome you to the Twin Cities as always. You're not a stranger down here, and we're not a stranger up there.
Yes, absolutely.
So, God bless you.
You too.
It's Father Mike Schmitz. He's going to be down here in the Twin Cities. That's March 7th, 8th, and 9th, and that's at the Church of the Epiphany. Let me give you that number again one more time. That's 763-862-4355. When we come back here, I'm going to talk to you about three things that you can do to combat the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's coming up next on the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover. If you're like most people, you're looking for the best care available for your family. As your loved ones experience the physical and emotional effects of aging, such as memory-related disorders, illness, or injury, Synergy Home Care can provide safety, comfort, dignity, and well-being. You'll have peace of mind knowing it's high-quality care your loved ones deserve while staying in their own home. Synergy Home Care can also provide transportation, household help, or personal care assistance after joint replacement or surgery. Their award-winning team of caregivers can be there to help at many levels of service, from just a few hours a week to round-the-clock care. Their personal assistants go a long way toward keeping people independent. For a free assessment in your home, call 651-964-3727. The goal at Synergy Home Care is to make your life easier and more fulfilling. Their exceptional team serves the entire Twin Cities area. They care for people of all ages and can begin helping you in just a few days if you call 651-964-3727.
I believe in a peace that flows deeper than pain. The broken find healing in love. Pain is no measure of His faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us. No.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Today, right now, wherever you're at, right now, it's an opportunity for you to let that light shine and to be a disciple of Jesus. In everything you do and everything you say, you have a message, you have a mission. We were talking earlier with Father Greg Schaefer, who heads up the mission down in Venezuela. He's on a mission, and he was talking to us about joining him on that mission. Father Mike Schmitz is going to be at Epiphany on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of March. It's called a mission, but you are on a mission too, right now, today. God might have something for you to do, people to meet, be a blessing in some way. But here we are in the middle of Lent, and we're focusing on these 40 days on our own life with the Lord and looking at the areas, as Father Schmidt said, that we need to address in our own life. What needs to go? What needs to be adopted into our life so that we can become more ineffective and more purposeful disciples for the Lord? You know, there are three things that the Scriptures talk about from the very beginning to almost the very end of the Bible. Three things that we struggle with as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve. You go back to the Garden of Eden and you will see that they were told not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that they ate of it, they would die. And of course, that's what Eve did. She took of the fruit and she ate. She gave it to Adam and he ate. And here we are today. But that original sin focused on three things, because when you look at what Eve saw in that tree, it might surprise you. It's not bank robbery and it's not tax evasion. It's not murder or anything else like that. You know, big ticket items. It is this. In Genesis 3:6, she gives kind of a description of what she saw. And it doesn't sound bad at all, really. She said that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So, number one, it's delicious, you know? It's good tasting. Number two, it's beautiful to look at. And number three, it makes one wise. Now, what is not to like about that? Well, what's not to like about that is the fact that good created thing that God gave in the midst of the garden wasn't the end goal. It wasn't the final destination of Adam and Eve. God was. The Creator was. But they stopped at the creation. And frankly, that's one of the problems that we struggle with too today, don't we? We struggle with filling our lives with those things that just taste good, you know? And we fill our lives with those things that it just looks good, you know, the silver, shiny thing. And then we also fill our lives with those things that will make us wise. There's another way of looking at that too, and John wrote about it at the very end of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation. In the first letter of John, chapter 2, what does he say? He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him." And then he describes three things that really could be part of this message of loving the world rather than God. And those three things are, he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It sounds like those three things back at the beginning, doesn't it? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He says they're not of the Father, but they're of the world. And the world's passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you know what the challenge is for me today? And I would say probably the same thing for you. And that is that we are at a crossroads. You know, in the old blues tradition, they would go down south to Mississippi, and if they wanted to be great playing the guitar and playing the blues, they'd go to the crossroads. And there, if they met at the crossroads, the devil would meet them at midnight. And he would make a deal with them. He'd make them the greatest guitar players and singers in the world if they would turn their soul over to him. They call it the crossroads. But I want to encourage you today at a different crossroads. You don't have to sell out, but give your life to Jesus. And these three things at the crossroads in your life and my life today are the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of flesh. Now, Jesus gives us a way to deal with those. If you look in your Bible in Matthew chapter 6, you will see that there are three forms of piety that he highlights. Now, he didn't make these things up, and these things are almsgiving and prayer and fasting, which are the three things that we really do focus on during Lent, which we are in the midst of right now. He didn't make these up. These were regular normative forms of piety, of faith back in the first century, and very celebrated, very much taught about, and considered very, very important, because these three forms of piety, that is almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, correspond to these three things back in the garden and in 1 John chapter 2, and that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, let's look at that for a moment. In chapter 6 of Matthew, better known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts off right away in chapter 6, and he says, "Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give alms," and that's the first thing he talks about, alms. "When you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Isn't that beautiful? One thing we find out about doing things in secret is that your Heavenly Father will reward you when you practice these forms of piety. Now, the first one is almsgiving. Now, what does that correspond to in terms of our three things that we're dealing with in our own life during Lent? Well, almsgiving, that corresponds to the lust of the eyes. Have you ever found yourself just wanting more? It's like everything you see on commercials, you think, oh, I'd like to get that. Or you go to the Mall of America or one of the Dales and another shopping area, and you just walk around and you find yourself lusting after things. You want more things, even though you admit, as I admit, things don't make us happy. But we sure want to give it a whirl, don't we? Things don't make us happy. How do you combat that in your life? You want that fifth purse. You want that fourth pair of shoes. You want that seventh gun. You want that new car, even though the one you have is just doing fine. How do you combat the lust of the eyes? Well, almsgiving. So what is it? Almsgiving is divesting yourself. It's not taking in more. It's giving it away. So how do you combat this tendency to accumulate? Give it away, give it away, give it away. That's the key right there. So during Lent, give it away. Number two, we have prayer. "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So what does prayer correspond to in terms of the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh? You're right, the pride of life. Wisdom, accumulating your own wisdom, walking in your own wisdom. I'm an American, pull myself up by the bootstraps. I have a will and I have a way. How do you deal with that? That pride of life? You pray. You depend upon the Lord. You throw yourself on His wisdom and admit, my ways are not His ways. And His ways are far above my ways. And I need to pray. I need His wisdom, not just the wisdom of man. And number three, the third one, the third in this trinity of piety is fasting. Oh, and we do that, don't we, during Lent? We fast. Well, what does fasting correspond to in terms of the three things that Eve saw and the three things that John addresses in 1 John chapter 2? It's the lust of the flesh. It's that appetite. It's the appetite not only for food, but just plain lust of any kind. And how do we combat that? We fast. We divest ourselves once again. We give up food. We may give up other things, but it is to get us to focus on what really, truly is important in our lives. So if you're fasting, if you're giving up something during Lent, make sure it corresponds to the lust of the flesh. And don't give yourself over to that. Avoid it. And let's be honest, if you're giving up lutefisk for Lent, that's not a big deal. But if you're giving up something else, well, for some of you, it might be a big deal. Sorry, don't need emails on that. But if you're giving up something else, make sure it's corresponding to the lust of the flesh, that you're combating something in your life. So real quickly, lust of the eyes, how do we deal with it? Almsgiving, divest ourselves. The pride of life, what do? We pray. We don't depend upon ourselves. And number three, lust of the flesh, what do? We fast. So remain faithful during Lent. Remain faithful with these three forms of piety. Where am I reading from? Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. Corresponds to Genesis 3:6 with Adam and Eve, and 1 John chapter 2. That's the epistle of John chapter 2, the first one, where he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Isn't that great? Isn't it great what Jesus has given us to combat this? Fantastic. I love it. Absolutely love it. Well, Paul, we are in the midst of Lent. This is probably one of the busiest times
of the
year.
I'm giving up rutabaga for Lent.
You are a good man. I will join you in that. What's happening around the Archdiocese?
Oodles and boodles of things. Totus Tuus is a fun, energetic, parish-based summer catechetical program for children and junior and senior high school youth looking for college-age men and women to serve on Totus Tuus teams this summer. If you know an energetic young adult with ability to witness to the faith, consider inviting them to learn more about this dynamic summer opportunity. Visit archspm.org/totustuus. That's archspm.org/TOTUSTUUS. Applications due by March 1st, 2016.
The Church of St. Joseph in Rosemount invites you to a prison ministry informational workshop on Saturday, March 5th from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Learn why prison ministry is necessary and find out how you can be involved. Representatives engaged in various activities of prison ministry will be available for questions and conversation during lunch. Lunch will be provided. A free will offering will be accepted. For more information, call Kevin at 952-426-8633 or visit www.stjosephcommunity.org/prison ministry.
You're invited to attend the 21st annual Totino Grace Show Choir Spectacular Saturday, March 5th. The event features nationally recognized show choirs from Minnesota and Wisconsin performing throughout the day, beginning at 9 a.m. through the final award presentation at 10:30 p.m. Totino Grace Choirs will be hosting this event and performing exhibition shows at 5:10 p.m., 7 p.m., and 9:55 p.m. Tickets are $15 for adults, $10 for students under age 18. For more, visit totinograce.org or contact Sherry Jobin at djobin44@aol.com.
Join Minnesota Catholic Conference at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake on Sunday, March 6th from 12 to 1 p.m. to learn about the latest legislative priority issues for the Catholic Church in Minnesota concerning life, human dignity, and care for creation. Explore how to speak clearly and advocate well for a consistent ethic of life. The event and materials are free. Goodwill donations accepted. For more information, visit thechurchofstpaul.com. That's churchofstpaul.com, or contact Judy in the parish office at 763-757-6910.
Catholic Parents Online are sponsoring a Lenten retreat presented by Father Robert Altier Saturday, March 12th from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Church of St. Agnes in St. Paul. Day begins with 8 a.m. Mass, that's followed by continental breakfast and three dynamic presentations by Father Altier. Call 651-705-5409 or email info@catholicparents.org. And what's up next week, Jeff?
Join us next week on the Rediscover Hour as we talk with Jean Stoppelstad in the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life about the 2016 Live Family Expo, the conference where you will learn and develop skills to transform your marriage, family, and ministry. We'll also talk with the director of Open Window Theater, Jeremy Stanberry, who will be talking with us about their current play, Every Man. Everyone talks about it. Always a good time, very powerful. That's the Open Window Theater. So join us next time on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.